Sauerkraut to eat is a phrase you hear a lot if you're living in Kenya. And people use it to mean it's our ethnic community's turn to eat. And when they say eat, they mean to dig into state resources, to benefit from the patronage possibilities that being in that key position, that holding the presidency or having one of your guys as a minister gives you. So you've got your guy in State House, and he's going to make sure that your ethnic community gets jobs for the boys in the ministries, that your constituency gets investment in infrastructure, and that all the public contracts go to people from your ethnic area. So it's our turn to eat. It's our guy. He's in the key position, and we're going to dig in and benefit as a result.
So what prompted you to write this book?
Well, I'd lived in Kenya for 4 years and had then continued to cover it from afar. I think I ended up doing 3 sets of elections there. So it's a country that I felt I knew pretty well. I mean, it's been most of the last 10 to 15 years of my reporting on Africa. Some of that time has been spent in Kenya. And I was looking at Kenya and just sort of wondering, where does this problem with corruption come from? You know, why is it so ingrained? And then the story of John Githongo came along, and he was an old friend. I'd known him as a journalist because he started out as a journalist too, and then he went into anti-corruption campaigning. He joined Transparency International, and finally he ended up in government as an anti-corruption czar. And I followed his itinerary, and we kept in touch. And then I sort of saw that he basically was getting into trouble, things weren't going very well, and that he seemed to have come a cropper. He had basically come across a major corruption scandal called Anglo Leasing and had discovered that his key colleagues in government, key ministers who were supposed to be backing him in the fight against corruption, were actually involved in it. And I met John when he was in Nairobi and seemed to be very embattled, very beleaguered. He didn't seem to be master of his fate anymore. And I said to him, you know, if you need somewhere to stay, if you're in trouble, you know, you can always come and stay with me in London. And very soon after that, he took me up on my offer and basically went into hiding. And I realized that this is a fascinating story because it told us so much about modern Kenya.
What's been the official government reaction to your book?
Well, officially, the government has said nothing. It's made it clear that the book has not been banned. But what seems to have taken place behind the scenes, I think there has been a level of intimidation applied, because what we saw was that very soon after the book came out, the booksellers of Nairobi began to cancel orders for the book, and you couldn't buy it anywhere. I mean, you simply couldn't get hold of the book legitimately anywhere in Kenya. And I feel that maybe those booksellers came under a certain amount of covert pressure from the government that didn't want this book to be sold. When you ask these bookshop sellers, they'll say, oh, well, we're just worried about being sued for libel. But there's nothing in my book that Kenyans don't already know, because the scandal, which is known as Anglo Leasing, was already very, very familiar to Kenyans. It had been widely covered in the newspapers at the time. So there are no allegations I make that aren't already allegations that were very widely aired, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. So I think the excuse of we're afraid of being sued really doesn't hold water, and I feel that there's been a quiet campaign of intimidation applied.
But the book is being made available, is it not?
Well, just in the last week, we've seen this very interesting project, which I think is a testament to the extent to which Kenyan civic society is exasperated with the situation in Kenya, the continuing level of corruption, the failure of their new coalition government to deal with the problems that arose during the last disastrous elections. And they have decided to express that by adopting the book, really. And there's this unprecedented project is rolling out where the churches, the Kenyan churches, both Catholic and Protestant, are going to be discussing it around the country in discussion groups. 3 local radio stations are handing out copies for free to listeners who ring in. The Nairobi Star, which is a Nairobi newspaper, is also offering it to readers, and it's being traded at the traffic lights by the Nairobi Star's vendors. And Pen Kenya, the writers' organization, they've organized a lot of readings around the country, which are getting packed audiences. And I think it's really inspiring because basically all these people have got together and said, you know, this is a book which confronts the problems that are dogging our society, that we really need to grasp this nettle if we're not going to descend into a resurgence of new fighting, which is what everybody in Kenya is predicting at the moment. So let's discuss these problems. We need to read the book if we're going to be able to discuss them. It's outrageous that we shouldn't be able to get hold of a book that is widely on sale in everywhere else in Africa and in Europe. And so they've taken on the book and they've taken on distributing it, which is obviously great for me.